broadcasting around the world on International Shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. I'm your host, Matt Aaron, tonight, and I bid you good evening, good morning, wherever you are in our universe. And speaking of the universe, the subject tonight, things in the night sky. You look up, you see these lights, you see these things. They're flying around up there. The U.S. government has released this report. I'm going to be biased any way I look at it. Some of the experts I've talked with said it's great. Some of them said it's not so great. But they all agree on one thing. We're getting closer to more disclosure. We're getting closer to them actually admitting something. My guest tonight is Wilbur Allen. This guy, wow. Quick recap. I mean, we've had you on the show before, and the one thing that I did want to ask you about, and we'll get to that in a second, but I want people to realize you are a world-class photographer. That's the first thing. The second thing is you have specialized equipment that no one else has. You have the real deal. This is no game for you. I mean, you are...
It is no game. I have a PhD in this field. It's advanced imaging systems, and I specialize in Hubble.
So, folks, this is the real deal. You're talking to the guy. And if you want to join us tonight, the number is 1-833-880-9899, 1-833-880-9899. And the one thing that before we get into, and if you're interested in something he's got coming up, it's big news. Not only is it big news, but it'll make the hair on the back of your head stand up before it's over. But before we do that, I want to ask you, and I've been wanting to ask you this for a while. Obviously, it's an opinion, but what is your opinion on the current government stance on the stuff that they have currently released?
They're clueless, first. Secondly, they've taken this not so seriously for the longest of time. In fact, for some people who would make reports to the Pentagon or to the military officials or to government officials, they would be threatened. Their lives would be put at risk. You know, they would be ridiculed. It went on and on and on. And now all of a sudden, they're showing this interest in this material. And the problem they're having in containing people who have interest in this material is the fact that everyone now has personal media associated to their cameras. Or cell phones, rather. So with personal media, that means anybody and everybody can take a video of any event that's happening in front of their eyes at any given period of time. So now we've got multiple people with video cameras videoing these events. And it becomes, at some point, inundating to those who these videos are being sent to, because the fact of the matter is they're showing them these objects that are being filmed by random people in various airspaces, and those random objects that these people are filming in these various airspaces are consistent with the objects that they had been saying for the longest just don't exist. So now they're stuck with this problem with, you know, telling people they don't exist, and now they're trying to come up and fess up with the fact of the matter that they do exist. They have a problem. They've lied for so long, nobody wants to believe anything they've got to say. And that is the problem.
So what you're calling what I would consider to be disorganization.
Yes.
And not just disorganization, but a lack of knowledge of the subject of when they're releasing this stuff. My thought.
For the longest, keep in mind that they've been denying this stuff exists. In fact, I can say for a fact that the crew of the Nimitz, for example, when they presented their data associated to the Tic Tacs, that the Pentagon laughed at them. The crew of the Nimitz. We're talking about U.S. Navy technology. U.S. Navy technology is state of the art, and here's the state of the art technology documenting these anomalous objects, which they said would ascend from space down to 2 feet above the ocean and stop. And then here's the Pentagon laughing at that data and the people making the reports. So what do you think? Is the government really ready to put this disclosure out there, or are they just blowing smoke like they usually do?
Well, I think it's gotten to the point where it's been so bad and it's been so evident. When you're talking about cell phone technology, you're talking about the cameras on the cell phones. They're not like nighttime photography cameras, but I will tell you, some of the first cameras that I purchased as an amateur photographer, the camera that's in my cell phone has the ability to collect as much light as that first camera does, because I'm a huge nighttime time-lapse photographer in the sense of an amateur. You know, I've got Magic Lantern on my Canon. I'm going to play with this and have as much fun as I can. But really, when I put this thing up into the night sky the other night, I was able to capture photos of stars, and this is on my cell phone. And see, when you're having more and more and more evidence that you cannot control, it gets to a point to where the evidence is so overwhelming. It's so, you can't control the narrative at that point. The narrative is now lost. So the
they
only
lost
way
control.
To yeah,
they lost control.
The only way to regain some of that control is to come back in and attempt to regain control. And I think that's my opinion. I think it's, but again, I'm just a radio host. I'm nobody when it comes to this. I talk to people like you that are a heck of a lot smarter than I am, and I get to ask these questions, but that's kind of the way I read it. It's kind of like, well, we really don't know what it is, but we kind of know what it is, but it exists. But
you know, let's look at this. Let's say this, that if there was indeed a hostile extraterrestrial threat, I would have no confidence in the Pentagon.
Now, that's scary.
Yeah, none. They've got great technology for humans, you know. I mean, you've got anything and everything that a human can go up against. That's human technology. But we're not talking human technology. We're also talking about technology that may be an organism. The Tic Tacs, from the basis of the research that I've been able to conduct, have been inconsistent in the sense that I've got 4,000 Tic Tac samples, and I can't match one with another. So if they're man-made, where's the uniform consistency associated to that? It's not. They're not man-made. They're organisms.
And see, the deeper you go into these rabbit holes, the more that you really start to wonder. I mean, I saw this cartoon once, and this is kind of how I feel about it. And you see a cow holding up, you know, basically all the parts to the cow that we get to pick, you know, the kind of meat that we purchase. And the caption is, you know, how it feels trying to warn people about the nature of government. And then underneath there, you see another cow talking to another cow. I see Mr. Conspiracy Theory is at it again. And off in the distance, he's pointing to the meatpacker factory.
I mean, that's everything in a nutshell.
You get that vision, you know, in your mind, and you start thinking about, you know, how insane it is. And when you're looking up at the night sky right now, there's so much to be seen, even just with the naked eye. I can't imagine some of the stuff that you're capturing at this point. We're gonna talk to Wilbur when we come back from the break about some of his research and what's been going on. He's got some stuff he wants to talk about. I think it's gonna leave the hair on the back of your neck standing up. 1-833-880-9899 if you want to join us. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Wilbur Allen is our guest. Professional photographer. Not just by trade, but he went to school for it. And it's no joke. This guy is, I consider to be NASA rate, okay? He's getting ready to talk about some of the stuff he's been working on since the last time we spoke to him. And it's going to leave the hair on the back of your head standing up. He's been, would you say you've been traveling at this point?
I have to say I've definitely been traveling. And in saying that, meaning that I've changed my location considerably. I'm 174 miles south from the last time we spoke. So just keep that in mind. I'm 174 miles away from the last place that we spoke. And that the objects that I'm getting in the new location are exactly the same as what I was getting in the old location.
So for anybody that's just joining us and didn't hear the last show, what are these objects that you're observing?
I am observing these tubular-shaped craft. They look like, well, let's just say, 20-mile-long cigars. And they've got this red force field around them. And what makes this really interesting is that it obviously is on some kind of fixed trajectory, because I've documented this object 14 times. And in documenting this object 14 times, specifically in the location I left, I was able to match two of the events. When I say match the events, I took one event in February and the second event in March. And the two files, February and March, if I put them on top of each other, looked like they're the exact same event. So that meant that what I documented in February and what I documented again in March was the same object, along the exact same trajectory. That's what made this all so very interesting, in the fact that when I line up my systems, and I line up my systems specifically to north, south, east, and west, so they're aligned magnetically to the magnetic North Pole, that whatever these objects are, they're falling along this fixed trajectory that's in sync with the alignment of the telescopes.
So when you say telescopes, you're talking about your equipment at this point.
My equipment, yes.
So when these things become aligned, I mean, when you say these things are like 20 miles long, I have to ask the question.
I'm getting objects where you have to consider that my lens is focused from, I would say, above cloud ceiling, which probably would be 20,000 feet or 5 miles, 5 miles to infinity, which would go into outer space, and that the objects I'm getting are penetrating the outer atmosphere. And based on my lens positioning and based on the events that I'm documenting, if this object that I'm documenting is 150 miles up there and it's substantially large in my monitor and in my telescope view screen, then without a doubt, whatever these objects are, they're substantially bigger than anything we can imagine. And my guess of 20 and 30 miles long may be short in a sense that spacecraft could actually be a 100-mile-long spacecraft.
That could hold
many people.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, the more that I hear, the more that I see, like I said, you know, I we've had the meteor shower going on. So last night I went outside. I was lazy. I didn't pull out my camera. I lit up a favorite cigar, smoked a bourbon. Wait, drank a bourbon, smoked my cigar. Got to say that right there. Promise I haven't been drinking yet, but I was literally sitting out there and I could see all these shooting stars, but I was noticing, even with the naked eye, I'm seeing these other objects that look like somebody just turned on a extremely high. Now, I've been out to the desert many, many, many times, and one of the things that you notice about car headlights in the distance, if you're up on a mountain, when the headlight hits you direct, you have the most intensity. And then when the headlight moves off, you can still notice it, but it's not as intense because there's a focal point on that beam, and the higher energy output was just directed towards you. So as they move up and down, driving around the mountain, and you're standing at the base of it, and they're, you know, 15, 20 miles away from you, when that beam hits direct, it's pretty bright. Otherwise, you know, you don't see anything all that much. Now, some of these objects that I'm seeing, and I really want to ask this question to you again, because I think I did last time, but I'm explaining this more because this is fresh on my mind. I mean, I saw many of these last night. You get these things that are brighter. They're almost as bright as a first magnitude star. Now, what you don't realize is first magnitude, what? That's a planet. That's you know, something along those lines. I see these objects that get that bright, but then kind of fizzle out a little bit, but they get this high intensity just for a second, and then they're gone. What in the world is that?
I'm getting the very same objects, except they don't lose intensity. They maintain uniform consistency as they fly by. So it's an energy field, and based on the research data that I've been able to accumulate, that whatever these objects are, they're using a field propulsion type technology, and it is enveloped around the craft. And as this energy field envelops the craft, it has the ability to cut through our airspace and, in fact, penetrate perhaps into other dimensions based on the samples that I've been able to document. The spacecraft will fly through, and then all of a sudden it vanishes completely. And based on the data, it is indeed something that's well beyond our means of technology. And the fact of the matter that here is a massive spacecraft that makes our aircraft carriers look like single-seat rowboats flying in the airspace, and nobody seems to see it.
Well,
that's bizarre.
I think the reason why nobody tends to see it is not many people are looking up, and then there's always the excuse of, well, you know, this is, you know, that's the space station. That's the...
Oh, exactly.
That's, yeah. You know, this thing, that thing. Okay, as a photographer, I had someone explain this to me the other day, and you know about the distances in space and all that. How likely is it that you're going to see a satellite or one of these new satellites that are supposedly causing all the new havoc in the sky? What are the chances of you...
The Starlink satellite is the size of a commercial refrigerator. Now think about this. Can you see a commercial refrigerator 350 miles away? No. Does a satellite have its own source of energy which would make itself illuminate? No. It's not anything that we could have possibly put up there. And the fact of the matter is, if you can see it, it's obviously much bigger than anything we've got.
So you said it's 150 miles away, correct? Or 300 is Starlink.
Starlinks are 350 miles in an orbit. Now, think about it. A person can't see a refrigerator a mile away, so you're going to see that same refrigerator 350 miles away. When somebody says they can see a satellite, I'd like to send them to a psychiatrist because you can't. It's a physical impossibility. For the fact of the matter, the only time you can possibly see a satellite, and you don't see it, you see the glimmer of it, which is a reflection, is during the time the sun rises or when the sun sets. And it's still in the range of the sun. But when it's in darkness, it's an impossibility for it to be generating sufficient light for you to see it. It's impossible. So you can't see satellites. I've been doing this with advanced technology now for the past 4.5 years. And I've yet to get a satellite.
What do you think the chances are that these people that take their pictures and have supposedly captured the International Space Station.
And they're saying they're doing it with their cell phones.
Not cell phones, but like a Canon 5D or something, you know.
Well, you can see its silhouette, obviously, yeah. I mean, there's a very strong possibility in that sense, but to say you see the space station would mean you could see its arrays, you can see the windows, you can see the signage, you can see the numbers associated to the hull. That you can't see. You see a glimmer at best, and if anything, you're going to see its outline. That does not mean that you see the craft itself. You see the outline. It's just not sufficient illumination for you to physically see it. It would have to be immensely bright to be seen. That's impossible, especially when it's in orbit 300 miles away, and people want to believe that they can see it. That's impossible. That's a fantasy, actually.
But Wilbur, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about an upcoming video that you're talking about getting ready to post and what it is. Just kind of tease it a little bit. Let's not give the whole thing away. And then I also want to talk about these things being biological. To me, that's just, you know, there's a lot of biblical references that I think that we could tie into that just kind of, it's kind of scary. Some ancient culture stuff as well. 1-833-880-9899. This is Radio Disclosure. We'll be back. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Wilbur Allen is our guest. He's been moving, trying to see if he got the same results where he was before, and he has. 1-833-880-9899. 1-833-880-9899. We got a couple people sitting on hold. Wilbur, so you were saying that you are working on something right now, getting ready to upload it. It'll be ready when it's ready, but the problem is you're dealing with very large files. You're in a remote location, crappy internet, basically, crappy cell service, which we dealt with earlier. In a nutshell, do you want to talk about where people can get this and what you're getting ready to release?
I definitely can talk about it. What I want people to do is, if they can, Google the following statement, and it'll take you to the page that describes and shows the data that I'm talking about. And what they want to Google is anomalous activity, warps, and repeats in time. I'll repeat that. Anomalous activity, warps, and repeats in time. If you Google that, it'll take you to my page. And on that page, you'll see the cigar craft that I've been documenting starting in 2014 with the 3K technology. And the 3K technology showed specifically these objects materializing into P53 restricted airspace, which is airspace that's associated to Washington, D.C., and all government buildings, including the White House. And during that time, in fact, that this is time that the Obama administration was saying that they had no knowledge of UFOs or UFO cover-ups in any of the United States areas. And here, four blocks away from the White House, I'm documenting spacecraft that makes aircraft carriers look like rowboats. So without a doubt, go to anomalous activities, warps, and repeats in time, and look at the data that's on that chapter. And on that chapter, you'll see these cigar objects I'm talking about, specifically the ones with the red force fields. And those are the objects that are predominant now, based on my research data, in our airspace. That particular object flew over my home this morning. So it's kind of hair-raising, in a sense, to think that here, 174 miles away, I'm documenting the same spacecraft that I was getting that in Haymarket, Virginia. So it says to me that either these objects are everywhere and or I'm being followed by this object.
It's, yeah, I mean, so what is it you're getting ready to release and what can people...
It's going to be the proof associated to what I'm discussing here, the data that's on the chapter that we're discussing. The red craft that's shaped like a cigar with the red force field and the green energy tail. I got it again this morning. And the possibilities of that, considering that I'm 174 miles away from my last location, for me to get the exact same craft directly over my head indicates without a doubt this object is either following me or it's everywhere that's along the alignment of my telescope.
And I'm going to just briefly say this sarcastically. Are you sure it's not a bug?
Bugs aren't...
I'm sorry, I had to.
Bugs aren't bigger than cities, you know, And that's what makes it even more abstract is that the physical documentation associated to it, all of the samples I have are 4K, so it's scientific documentation. It's empirical evidence. And the fact of the matter that I'm getting the same object, you know, I can match the files that I got this morning with files that I've been getting for the last 6 months at a completely different location. So to me, it's a bit concerning in a sense, and even more, would this object have been visible to humans in the manner in which that I'm documenting these objects? It's recorded in Advanced Hubble. Advanced Hubble is a more, let's just say, it's more sensitive than what NASA's got in orbit, and that my technology is filming infrared at 60 frames per second in absolute darkness. So I'm getting these objects as clear as day. In 4K.
So you keep posting this stuff online, and as you're posting it and as you're dealing with it, and I think I asked you this before, but I'm going to ask it again. Have you been written to, talked to, told not to continue this research, problems?
Nobody. And then consider this. My background is a little different than most. And one of the people that I work with directly was George H.W. Bush. And George H.W. Bush, while he was president of the United States, but prior to being president of the United States and vice president to Ronald Reagan, he was head of the Central Intelligence Agency. And the people that I share my data with are with Langley, aren't Langley. So it's not like that I'm putting anything up there that's a threat to national security or anything like that. It's purely scientific data. And they know that the data is valid. If people recognize it, fine. If they don't, fine. Because it's not a matter of importance either way. You know, that they don't want to know aliens here. They just don't want to know it.
I get it. So what theories do you have and what evidence of the science makes you believe that these are more biological in nature?
The data that I have is 4,000 different 4K high-definition video samples of these objects in various states as they appear, disappear, if they're close, if they're far away, if they have energy fields or if they have a less apparent energy field. But what made things interesting was my comparatives to these objects. And my comparatives were microbials. And the microbials here on Earth, like microbes, viruses, they all had the consistencies associated to the Tic Tacs. Even more, in looking at, for example, the way a microbe propels itself in an aqueous solution, it undulates. And the objects that I'm imaging in space are undulating, just like they would if they were in a microscope in water. So without a doubt, if you think there's a saying, as above, so below, then what I'm looking at is an advanced extraterrestrial microbe. But it's much larger than a microbe that we would, in a sense that we know as microbes. But whatever these objects are, they're entities and they're alive. They're not spacecraft.
Do you think these entities
are highly intelligent at this point.
Highly intelligent, absolutely. I think they're higher order because they have the ability to fold space. The samples I'm documenting are appearing and disappearing on video. I mean, I say they appear Klingon style, disappear Klingon style.
So, man, the more that we get into, it's just...
Watch Star Trek. Everything on Star Trek's real.
The one race in
except for the starships we got, yeah.
Yeah, the one race I'd like to meet is the Binars in Star Trek. Those guys, they talk in binary.
They do everything. They could do everything in binary. They calculated everything quickly. But there's a very strong possibility they may exist.
So
nothing can be taken for granted anymore. Anything that's make believe, it's not make believe. They had to get the concept from somewhere.
So the last question I'm going to ask before we go to the break here: what do you think of Space Force?
Don't stand a chance on Earth. I was going to say somewhere else.
Let me go up against extraterrestrials. Let me rephrase that. What do you think Space Force actually is or supposed to be?
A bunch of guys in the spacecraft that can't do crap against a spacecraft that's 30, 40 miles long. Think about it. They've got a little tiny spaceship, and here's a spacecraft 40 miles long. What are you going to do? Get a gun at it? Think about it. They got no chance. No chance. Good luck. They might as well make allies with them more than anything. Try to ally. Other than that, to battle them, we've lost.
1-833-880-9899 is the number. You know, the more I think about it, the more scary this gets. We talked with Kathleen O'Connor. She says she's had 3 children taken. There's multiple other incidents where there's human hybrid innation going on and all this different stuff. It's just... what do you do with this? I don't know. Well, we're going to continue the conversation when we come back from the break. 1-833-880-9899. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Wilbur Allen is our guest. Wilbur, if people want to find you online and they want to donate to your research or anything along those lines, how do they find you and how do they get a hold of you?
They can find me on my website, which is UFODC, David Charlie, UFODC.com. And on my website at the very top, you'll see a donate button. I take donations. I use my donations to advance my technology. I'm currently working on an upgrade lens, which is going to be quite expensive, but nevertheless, the upgrade lens will double the magnification of the current lens technology that I have right now and give me the ability to get even closer to the objects that are on the pages that I've asked people to Google and take a look at. But it's definitely consistent data. It's not that out-of-focus, non-visually descript materials that's being aired by all these other people. This is some high-definition 4K advanced technology nobody on this planet has other than myself.
And I want people to realize this. Like, when you get into professional lenses and broadcast style lenses, like when you see the guy out there at the NFL, like running up and down and he's got this big lens and it's the television camera, those lenses are $80,000 a hit. I mean, they're
even
not
more,
you know, and that's decent. What we call in the biz, decent glass. And
yeah.
You know, from my broadcast experience and engineering, I mean,
the amount of costs that's in, and that's something, folks, I need you to understand. When you're looking at this footage, this is professional. This isn't, you know, this isn't Joe Blow in his backyard, you know, with his little Canon camera and, you know, a $200 no. lens. And you think that's expensive, no. you know? No.
Yeah. No, this is more like a $80,000 lens and a $10,000 camera connected to it. So you're looking at $100,000 worth of tech with the computers and all the software to make it run worth of technology.
So if you wanted to discuss something with the general public right now, if I told you what you do, you have 7 minutes, what would you like to tell them?
To be on the lookout for things that are coming. And, for example, look at the data that's coming out of the space station, the International Space Station. They've documented on several occasions thousands of objects flying into Earth's atmosphere in clusters. So we know that these, whatever these tic-tac anomalies are, they're coming from somewhere else, not from Earth. So we've got that established for a fact. And if you do see a tic-tac, try to video it as much as possible, because they are organisms that are perhaps taking over our airspace.
How dangerous do you think these things are at this point?
Based on from what the Navy has presented and based on what I'm presenting, they're not hostile at all. They're, in fact, rather peaceful. I documented a few Tic Tacs during the 4th of July and noticed how they responded to exploding fireworks. They flinched. Every time a firework would explode, the Tic Tac would flinch. So they were affected by the sound or whatever was that startled them when the fireworks would explode. So it indicated to me without a doubt that there's some kind of intelligence there, advanced intelligence, to say the least.
Can you describe for the audience these things flinching?
I've got samples. That's really abstract. And keep in mind, when you start looking at defects associated to a camera or an event, so when it's a defect associated to the camera, the flinch would affect the entire image, not the Tic Tac itself. And what I'm getting is video, purely clean, showing a Tic Tac in forward motion, but for a brief instance, it'll flinch. It'll go forward and backward super fast and then resume its normal forward velocity. It indicated to me that it's some kind of perhaps inconsistency inside this anomaly. It's like belching or perhaps farting for all I know. I don't know what it's doing, but whenever it does this, it's doing it. They're all doing it consistently the same, and I've got several samples. I've got 4,000 samples of the Tic Tac and about 60 samples of them flinching. So it's interesting that it is indeed a byproduct of this object and not a byproduct of the camera.
Yeah, the more stuff that I see, even just with my naked eye, you and I swap photos. And I sent you some of my stuff from my private collection that I took out in Groom Lake. And we did a live show out at Area 51, and we had a roll of satellite truck because there is no cell service. There is no electric power there. Now, we did do a show from the Little Alien, and that's a little different. But we went to a specific spot in the desert that's not too far away from Area 51. And I took some of these photos, and you were examining them. And again, I'm an amateur photographer, man. I just do this for fun. I love the night sky. I could sit outside and watch meteors fall from the sky all night long. It's just, it's fun and interesting to me. You'd mentioned that I was getting some of the same stuff that you were out there.
You got exactly the same objects I was getting out there. And in fact, when I sent you that clip, whatever that red object was that you documented, it had the same consistency of the red objects that I'm documenting in space and infrared. So we know that technology is the same. without a doubt.
Now, here's what's crazy about that. Those objects would get extremely bright and then extremely soft. And I will tell you, beyond any reasonable doubt in my mind, that they were in our atmosphere and they were literally circling out in that location.
Yes. There's something there they're interested in. There's something they want back.
Now, the way you,
whatever it is, they're going to get it.
The way you said that almost sounds like you have more inside knowledge. And of course, I'm not going to pressure you on that, but that just kind of struck me funny the way you said that. But anyways, the whole thing is, to me, the more research that you're doing and the more stuff you're publishing, the more that you're pushing out into the general public, you're doing a service. And folks, you need to realize this isn't like a get-rich-quick theme. This isn't a I'm-going-to-become-famous-by-photographing UFOs theme here. I mean, honestly, for you to do this research, it's...
Research.
Yeah, it's slow, it's pain-taking. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
You know, I've been doing it for years, actually, and what a lot of people don't seem to realize in all of the samples that I'm presenting, no one seems to understand how I'm able to get those. And that, I don't know if we mentioned this the first time we spoke, but I was taken as a child at a military base in the United Kingdom. So whatever they put into me, and whoever these entities were that basically took me, they have maintained interest in me, and I believe that they're the ones that are piloting these objects that I'm getting consistently. And I'm telling you, I get them consistently. No matter where I go, I get the same objects.
And see, what's crazy about that is last week we talked to Kathleen O'Connor, and she tells the story about them taking her, meeting other people, piloting crafts. They're doing alien-human hybrids. I mean, the amount of stuff. And, you know, at first you listen and you're like, yeah, but the amount of detail that goes into it. And then you hear the next person that tells the same kind of story. And you hear the next person that tells the same kind of story.
Think about this. Betty and Barney Hill. Betty Hill drew a star chart that Hubble telescope confirmed. But without the Hubble telescope confirmation, they basically dismissed it. They dismissed all of Betty Hill's stuff. And she took photographs of these objects. And Kathleen Martin, who was her niece, shared the pictures that Betty Hill took. And the pictures Betty Hill took were consistent with the photographs I took at the U.S. Capitol building in 2002, where I had a close encounter of the fourth kind. It made contact, whatever it was, it made contact with me.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes. Well,
and
people don't want to believe on any of this from people like myself, even with the physical evidence. I'm dismissed considerably.
Well, we're not dismissing you here. What's your website again?
It is ufodc.com.
And listen, people, if you've got and you enjoy this, go up there, hit his page up, you know? I'm telling you, what he's doing is important. I think it shows, you know, it definitely shows, you know, realism in all this, and it's science. You know, you're trying to get to the truth. Get up there, smack his donate button, do something with it. The rabbit hole keeps getting deeper. The more and more we do this, the more and more people we talk to, if you've got something to disclose to Radio Disclosure, or you have a show guest idea, hit us up 1-833-880-9899, 1-833-880-9899. Follow the prompts, leave us a message. I'd like to hear from you.
Like to say thank you to WTWW, the International Shortwave Station, for carrying us tonight, and all of our other local affiliates. This has been Radio Disclosure.